Lecture topic, Muslim women, are they oppressed?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihudahu wa ba'd. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. O Allah, we do not have knowledge besides that which you have granted us, for indeed you are most knowledgeable, most wise. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima allamtana. O Allah, grant us knowledge that is beneficial and benefit us from the knowledge that you have granted us. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'ain la yusma'. O Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use, and from eyes that will not cry for your sake, from a heart that will not fear you. We seek your protection from a stomach that will never be filled, from a soul that will never be content. And we seek your protection from a dua that is made to you that is not answered. My dearest mothers and sisters in Islam and beloved brothers, you will notice I have first addressed the mothers and sisters because this program is primarily for the mothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in the dunya and the akhirah. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever he spoke or read the Quran, whenever there was mention of the punishment, immediately he would seek protection from that punishment. Whenever there was mention of goodness, immediately he would seek that goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have made it a habit, inshaAllah, may Allah accept it from one and all, that whenever there is an opportunity to make any dua, even if it means we are speaking, whilst we are speaking, we can add a dua or two. Who knows? That might be the time the angels are saying Ameen and our dua may be accepted. May Allah make us from amongst those who are acceptable and accepted at all times. Ameen. If we are to take a look at the women of the world today, we will realize that within a short space of time, things have changed drastically. 50 years ago, the miniskirt was not worn. 50 years ago, no one wore jeans and t-shirts from amongst the women. 50 years ago, women, some may have been maltreated, but many of them had the opportunity to engage in acts of worship that are unfortunately being disregarded today. I am in no ways a prophet of doom, but I wish to raise a few examples and a few pointers for our mothers and sisters who have come very keenly to listen to a word or two of hope and advice. Wallahi, I tell you, to ban the headscarf in France is the disregard of human rights and freedom. In the same way that to impose on a woman a headscarf is regarded as oppression in the West, we feel as Muslims it is reverse oppression when you prohibit it totally. They should be free to wear it or not to wear it. We are speaking of a Western society. We are not speaking of Islam and the Muslims. If they have a rule and a regulation saying that you are free to wear it or not to wear it, we will honor that law. And we will try and inculcate within our mothers and sisters the love for the headscarf. And out of choice and free will and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of their religion and their Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will wear it on their own. But to ban it is reverse prohibition. Reverse oppression. I remember meeting a professor from the United States of America, where he told me, "You men oppress your women." And I said, "May I ask why you say this?" "Because you impose on them a headscarf." I looked at him and I smiled. He said, "What are you smiling at?" He didn't know the person he was dealing with. I told him, "Listen, can I ask you a simple question? Which is the most free land on earth according to you? Which land on earth enjoys or grants the most freedom to its citizens and people?" He said, "No doubt, the mother of all democracies is the United States of America." I told him, "You have already insulted a female by calling the land a mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But there are 250,000 women in America who cover their faces. Why do you oppress the women so much?" He was quiet. He was silent. And after a few moments of thinking, he said, "No, they are doing it out of their own free will." I told him, "So when in the Arab world, the Muslim world, the rest of the world, people are doing things out of their own free will, they are oppressed. Today, mashallah, we have a number of sisters here. I'm sure every single one of them is dressed appropriately. They are not oppressed. They are doing it out of their own free will. So this business of brainwashing the entire world that the Muslims have oppressed their women, that is part of the topic today. How do we respond to this?" And I would like to go through a few examples with a few answers for the sake of my benefit and yours, inshallah. The first thing they will ask you, or they will tell you as a woman, "Why is it that you are not allowed to be imam in the masjid?" That is a very valid point, valid argument. Why is it? We need to know. When I have spoken to Christians, I have told them, "The Bible disallows it as well. Why then do we not have a nun becoming a pope or popess? We don't even have the term popess in English. There is no bishopess. The word sounds so silly." So when the Christians refuse, then they are liberated. But when the Muslims follow the Bible, then they are oppressive. Subhanallah. We don't want to speak of the Quran today. Let us put it aside. Why? When you are arguing with a Christian, use his scriptures, not yours. He doesn't believe in yours. So no problem. Though the Bible has been changed, we will still use it to prove a point or two. We all know that Adam alayhi salatu wassalam was created first from soil. He was known as Adam, someone created from something dead. Someone created from something dead. What was dead? The soil was dead. He was lonely because he was only one from the species of mankind. Alone. And he felt very lonely. And he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, take away this loneliness of mine. Grant me some companionship." And he kept on making this dua until one day in his sleep, Allah gave him a gift. Subhanallah. What gift was this? As he got up, he noticed another human being looking quite similar, yet a little different. And immediately he was very happy. He looked at her and he said, "Man anti, who are you?" She said, "Ana Hawa, I am Hawa." Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has made mention of this incident in his book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. Hawa means someone created from something living. Remember that, because in a few seconds I'm going to tell you something. Hawa means someone created from something living. The rib was already alive. She was created from something living. Today, men look at women. We forget that they only came into existence because of dua after dua after dua. And they were granted to us as a gift. Subhanallah, do we treat our women as gifts? And bearing in mind that this talk is more for the mothers and sisters of mine, I must remind our mothers and sisters, do we live as gifts? Or do we live in such a way that our men would like to give back the gift? May Allah protect us. And then you find the derogatory comments that are passed. Oh, you've been created from a rib. Don't we hear that statement? Derogatory. We're trying to do down the women. You know, the rib is bent, you know. And you've been created from a rib. So it's understood. My dear mothers and sisters, I would like to equip you with a weapon today. Ammunition. Tell them, at least Allah created me from one rib. The rest of the cage is in you. Subhanallah. The rest of the cage is in you. I am just one. Allahu Akbar. That's ammunition. Then, if they still further decide, and I hope no one throws eggs at me here. Alhamdulillah, we are in a masjid. I don't think that will happen. Then if they still decide to pass further derogatory comments, the mothers and sisters can say, you were created from something dead, and I was created from something alive. Subhanallah. And for this reason, a woman has much more mercy than a man, tried and tested. A mother is more merciful, or should be more merciful, by nature, towards her children, than the father of the children. When I say should be, the reason I say that is because in our societies today, we know the scales are tipping. And we know that there are certain disasters that are occurring. So let me tell you that when we are told, why is it, or when we are asked, and I'm addressing the women here, why is it that you are not allowed to get up and lead the salah? We know according to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, a woman is allowed to lead women in salah. We know that. It is a ruling. We understand it. We appreciate it. We accept it as the madhab of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. But we all know that a woman was created physically different. No one can argue with that. Physically, are we the same? So when we say gender equality, why don't we use the same toilets? Why do we have gents on one side and ladies on the other? For what reason? If we were physically equal, there would have just been one loo or one set of loos. But because the whole world admits and agrees that we are physically different, for that reason, they have even separated the toilets. That is an admission on the part of the West that we are together. But we have been created differently. We are together as human beings. We are the same when it comes to our right to live, our right to air and water and drink and so on and so forth. But in certain issues, we have been created differently. Similarly, when it comes to writing the titles next to your name, why do we not see Mr. Fatima and Mr. Khadija? Why do we have to add an S? Because the West admits that we are different. I don't think there will ever come a time, I hope there will not come a time, that everyone is known as Mr. or that we are known as Mrs. Imagine. So there are admissions within the Western societies that we have been created differently. Yes, a woman will wear a suit today, but her suit is different from the one I would wear. She will wear shirts, but the buttons will be different, mostly. Or the entire style will be different. That is an admission from the West, that physically they are different. If physically we are different, then we should understand emotionally, we also have to be different. A woman goes through childbirth, the bearing of children which no man can ever go through. If only you knew the jihad that was within childbearing, wallahi, you would understand the greatness. Where the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, any woman who passes away during childbirth goes straight to Jannah. Which man can that happen to? Any woman who suffers during her monthly periods, it will be a kafara and a compensation for her sins and the rise and raising in her status and rank. I could not go through it, and my brothers who are seated here today would never be able to go through it. It is something that is imposed on you whether you like it or not. And wallahi, the only option you have is to bear patience and to ask Allah to reward you. We know of something known as the PMTs. It is common knowledge where there are emotional outbursts, mental stress, physical difficulty, pain, which results in the outburst of temper during a fixed number of days. Sometimes you may be screamed at, but wallahi, that wife of yours loves you more than you love her. But her screaming is involuntary to a certain extent. Sometimes she may say words and come back to you in tears and say, wallahi, I did not mean that, forgive me. And genuinely so. But for a man to do that is unacceptable. For a man to scream and shout and then come back in tears and say, look, I'm sorry. Yes, we might look at it with eyes of forgiveness. But it is not as acceptable as if a woman had done the same. So imagine we had an imam, for argument's sake, an imama, a lady who happened to lead the prayers here in this masjid, for example. What would happen? The entire community would know, because the little Abdullah, who is 3 years old, would say, you know that imam, her name is Rumaysa. She started her period at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, and she is going to end on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. So for Salatul Dhuhr, she will be back. Is that not a disgrace? The biggest disgrace you can ever think of is when the whole community knows about your internal affairs. What is going on in your body, the whole community knows. So in order to respect you, and in order to grant you the status, the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, come to the masjid if you would like, and know that it's better for you to stay at home. So whenever anyone is at home, no one has the lightest and slightest clue. They might guess, but it is only guesswork. But you will never be disrespected in society and community at all. You are respected to the highest degree. And you will come in a section where the men will not even know whether you were there or not. Similarly, when it comes to speaking, sometimes you may find a woman comes across, as I've mentioned a few moments ago, very harsh. Not because that is her nature, but because of involuntary issues that are occurring within her body. Something she has no choice of, no choice regarding. So for that reason, she may utter a few words that she does not mean. If she says that in a masjid, how is she going to apologize to all the musallis, some of whom, like myself, will be travelers? I may never come back to that masjid when she apologizes to say, look, last week, unfortunately, it was one of those days. And I said something, I was a little bit harsh. I withdraw my statement. Subhanallah. In order to respect you, to remove you from that predicament, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has granted you a status far higher than that of man in this regard. In certain aspects, you are raised higher than men. What are these aspects? Childbirth. Men can never go through it. You will be granted the title of motherhood. مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسَ بِحُسْنِ صُحْبَتِي قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أَبَاكَ أَوْ أَبُوكَ Subhanallah. Whom should I be best to in my companionship? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked. He said, your mother, and then your mother, and then your mother. Where did you get that status from? Those stretch marks on your belly will always be three or more. Subhanallah. Those are the signs, and I have told the men in the past, you are meant to lean down and kiss those marks. They are a sign of jihad fi sabilillah. They are a sign of contribution towards the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Never look at your wife and say, now you have marks on your belly. But always look at her and say, now you have contributed. And now you have engaged in the true jihad. And I respect you for that. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called his ummah to say, please have children, my dear wife, I kiss you today because you have answered the call saying, labbayka wa sa'dayk, subhanallah. I have produced children in order to increase the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Though I know that I might never be in tip-top shape once again. It's not impossible, but it's difficult at times. Don't let that depress you. Smile when you know that you will be standing next to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah because of your sacrifice to his ummah. Do you think he is going to forget your dedication and sacrifice? Never. Wallah, it is the men of today that have become so small-minded. One man told me, I need to marry again and again and again. And I said, why? He said, in the same way that when I have a VW of 1960, in 1990, we look at the new models. Subhanallah. And in 2000, we look at another model. And I told him, but my dear brother, do the women not have right to look at models as well? And he said, no, no, no. I said, why? That is now double standards. Is that not the case? So, yes, if the second marriage is happening for reasons acceptable in the Sharia, though we will not encourage it so much, we will neither discourage it. That is a topic on its own. But remember, don't ever lose respect for a woman who has given birth to your children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. I have mentioned this for the benefit of the brothers and listeners who are here in the form of males. Then we have another argument, which says, why is it that we are not allowed to go to graveyards? Wallahi, let me tell you, there is not a strict prohibition when it comes to going to graveyards. But it is not correct for a woman to frequent the graveyards or to go unnecessarily there. I am speaking more here on the madhab of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. When a person is alive, there are three basic elements within this person. The soul, the angel ordering you to do good, and the shaitan ordering you to do bad. When you die, the soul leaves the body. The angel is granted another task by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the shaitan roams around. The Africans around us in Africa would call them the spirits. But I tell you, they are not the spirits that are being spoken about. They are the shayateen and the qurana that are spoken about by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where do they roam around? In the world, anywhere, most probably and most likely within the graveyards. So now imagine if we had made it incumbent upon the women to come to the graveyards. During their periods, if they were there, that is when shaitan tampers with you the most. I know of so many cases of women, non-Muslim women as well, who have come back from graveyards and have never been the same again. Because they have been tampered with by shaitan. For that reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam discourages women from going to the graveyard. According to the different madhahib, the level of that discouragement is different. So today, we want to argue and say, why don't I go to the graveyard and lead Salatul Janazah? Not realizing that that statement is as good as saying, why don't I be driven straight into the hands of shaitan? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took us out of it, let us not want to go back to it. Another major issue that people are raising today, the laws of inheritance are being questioned. Why is it that a woman gets half that of a boy or a man to her closeness to the deceased? A person dies, he has left a son and a daughter and 75,000 rands. The son gets 50,000, the daughter gets 25,000. The world cries foul. But wallahi, thumma wallah, I swear in the house of Allah, maybe in figures, the woman has got less, but in reality, she has got more. That is why I am here today, to explain to you how. Before the period of Islam and the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women were ordered to dance naked in front of the men. And the men would drink and use the women as and how they wished. This has started once again today in the Western world. But when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, he used to go out to the cave of Hira and to other places to meditate over the problems of the community and society and their solutions. Until one day he got Nubuwah, and when he came back, he prohibited women from being, or he prohibited the men from displaying their women in public in that manner. And he asked the women to dress appropriately. And women used to be inherited themselves as commodity and properties. If a man dies and he owed someone money, his wife would be taken by that person. Is that freedom or oppression? Oppression. If a man died, his father would take away the wife or his brother or anyone for that matter. That is oppression to the highest degree. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a Nabi, he granted women the status of human beings firstly by prohibiting them to be treated as commodity and property and leisure and pastime for the general public. Firstly, thereafter, in order to grant women a higher status, not only did he prohibit them from being treated as commodity and property, but in order to confirm that they too are human beings, he ordered that they be given a share of inheritance, subhanallah. When they were inherited, not only did that stop, but on top of that, we had to acknowledge that they are human beings and they were given a share of inheritance. The question comes, how much should they be given? The Quran has already solved that problem. يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Allah has prescribed upon you in the laws of inheritance that for the male child of yours is a double portion compared to the female child. As I told you, in figures it sounds more. But let me tell you, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this woman out of oppression, he made it the duty of the closest male relative to provide the three basics for that woman: food, clothing, and accommodation. So a woman never needed any money at all, because her basic necessities will always be met by the closest male relative. One might ask, who are the closest male relatives? Let me tell you. Your husband is the closest, closer than your own parents. After that, if you have mature children who are males, your eldest son. If not, your father. If not, your brothers, and so on, and the circle becomes larger and larger. Any given time, the closest male to you, my dear mothers and sisters, is responsible for your food, clothing, and accommodation. This doesn't mean that now we need to ask for a Mercedes-Benz and sit back and relax. No, nor does it mean that we need to be asked to be accommodated at this Arabella Sheraton that I've seen. No. But what it means is the norm of society and community. What is affordable? What is acceptable? Food, clothing, and accommodation. I can't say, look, you have to provide me food. So there is a restaurant there which I want to eat at every night. Subhanallah. That's not it. However, the point I'm making is the basics are always met by the closest male relative. So who needs the money? The male needs the money. Because every woman under his custodianship, he has to provide for them food, clothing and accommodation, including his dependents, such as his minor male children. So the woman in Islam does not need a single cent. But Islam said, we want you to give her a token amount of half of whatever you are getting. The men were crying foul. To say, I get 50,000. That 50,000, I have to spend it on my wife, my five children, including my sister. And she gets 25,000. That is for her lipstick and her makeup and all luxuries that she wants to buy. Subhanallah. No one else has a right in 25,000 besides you, my dear mother or sister. And that brother of yours who got a seemingly larger figure, 50,000, in reality, you have a share in that. And so does his wife and his children. So if he has five children or four children or four dependents totally, let's say there is a man, his wife, two children and you, and there is 50,000, what portion has each one got? What is the portion? 10,000 each. Who has more? You have 35,000 now. And they only have 10,000 each. Now tell me, when the West cries foul, it is because they want you to not to appreciate the fact that Allah raised you higher than men in inheritance. Wallahi, you get more than us. Maybe not in figures, but in reality. Because you can put aside your 25,000, invest it in any halal investment and let it grow. In a year, it might become 30, 35, 40,000. If you give it to someone to do business, they might even multiply it 2, 3, 4 times. You might have 100,000 by the end of the year. And that poor man, the brother of yours, whom the world is saying has cheated you, wallahi, you can go to him and say, bye, I need food, clothing and accommodation. You are my closest male relative. If you don't provide it for me, I am going to the ulama. Subhanallah. Look at the status granted to women by Islam. Yet we always complain, why is it that women get less in inheritance? And I've heard this complaint everywhere I've been. Inshallah, I will be attending a conference in Egypt next week, inshallah. And the paper prepared is on the misconceptions regarding women's rights in Islam and their clarification. Let me give you another example. They say, why is it that in court, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِن لَمْ يَكُونَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. When witnesses are to be called in front of the judge, if there are not two males, you have one male and two women. So the women of the West cry foul to the women of the Muslim Ummah. And they say, you are oppressed. Two of you are equal to one man in the court. But did we ever go to the ulama and find out why that is the case? We are not questioning because we disagree. We are questioning because we want to know, in order to respond those who may be questioning us. Did I not say a few moments ago that a woman is much more merciful than a man? We all know that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing a woman who was breastfeeding a little child and looked at his companions and asked, do you see this woman? They said, yes. Do you think for a split moment that this woman is going to throw this child of hers in the fire? They said, never, it is an impossibility. How can a mother who is breastfeeding her own child throw that child into the fire? On hearing the answer, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at them and said, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has much more mercy upon all of us than this woman can ever have on that child of hers. He will not throw us into the fire. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That is an example of hope. In the mercy of Allah, my dear mothers and sisters, my dear brothers who are seated here, always turn to Allah in repentance. He loves you, and He loves you personally. By name He knows you, and He knows more about you than you know yourself. He has a relation with you that you may not have realized and picked up. Develop that relation and see how far you get. Getting back to the topic, I was speaking about the mercy of a woman. Look at the comparison given in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me tell you, if there is a court case going on and there were two women who had seen the murder directly of another person, and they were called into the courts as they are walking into the court. I'm giving you just one example to bring it closer to your minds. As they are being called into the courts and walking in, there is a woman, an old lady, crying in tears just at the door. This old lady is saying, touching the feet of these women, my dear sisters, I have a big problem. And she is crying and crying. What will the sisters do? They will sit down. My dear mother, don't cry. Never mind. There is nothing too big to solve. There is no, I have a problem. I have a very big problem. I have so much difficulty. I have so much problem. One after the other. Please help me. What will they say? They notice a sister of theirs and they will say, okay, we will help. What is the problem? The life of my son, the only breadwinner of my home, the one who brings money and I eat from the wealth. I buy food and I eat. That son who pays my rent. He had murdered someone erroneously by mistake. And you were the witnesses. His life is in your hands. Please help me. Don't send him to the executioning chair. Don't let him get the death sentence. Please just say you didn't see anything. And the woman is pleading and pleading. If there is one woman, she will walk into the court. Tell me, when the judge says, what did you see? Her level of mercy will drive her to think twice. She will have flashes of the image of the murder and at the same time, flashes of the image of the young woman or the old lady who was outside, crying and begging for mercy. And the confusion of both flashes, that is the level of mercy that a woman has, greater than a man. She might tell the judge, most probably, the least she will do is to say, look, I can't really remember what I saw. I vaguely recall. I can't really remember. Why? Because she wants to save the old lady. It is possible that this can happen because we know the level of mercy of a woman is far greater. But tell me, if there were two of them, as they were walking in, the minute the old lady would say, you know, my son had murdered someone, one of the two would tell the other, look, don't listen to her. Let's get up. Let's keep on walking. We are going to be diverted from the course of justice. So the two of you walk together into the courtroom where the Shar'i Qadi is sitting. Subhanallah. When two men come to bear witness, they will be interviewed separately. Believe me, it's my field, the Sharia. But when two women come in, they will be allowed to stand together in the box to look at each other and discuss. His shirt, was it grey? No, it wasn't grey, it was a little bit dark. The other one will say, no, it was black. I'm sure, oh yes, it was black. Okay, now they present their evidence, it was a black shirt. Subhanallah. The Quran says, أَنْتَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. Because one of the women, why do we need two? One of them might, for one reason or another, not really remember what had happened, or might have been made to forget because of statements of the likes of the old lady outside, the example I'd given you. So the other will remind her, give her comfort. Let me give you a living example. I had an armed robbery, may Allah protect us all, in my home in 2000, March the 11th. Where a few people came in with guns. In 15 minutes, they cleaned the home. My wife was there, my mother and my sister-in-law. We made dua, Ya Allah. We know what has happened here. At least life was not taken. At least people were not beaten. Ya Allah, you deal with these robbers. It so happened, there was a roadblock on one of the roads and they had a shootout. Three of the four men were shot dead. The head had escaped. He was jailed. In fact, he escaped, but he was caught a little bit later, apprehended, and he was jailed. They called us. We need you to come to confirm that this is the man. Come and see him. What happened? Three women, none of them wanted to go. No one. We are not going. But why? We need to catch this robber. If we go, tomorrow he might find out who was there who got him in jail. 5 years, 10 years later, he's going to come back for us. We rather leave him. Allah will deal with him. Subhanallah. Three women, but they were weak. That was mercy in their hearts and the fear of their own children suffering tomorrow. To say, we might not be in the home, but we have teenage daughters who are in the home. What might happen to them? Maybe we will go and bear witness. Someone, somehow the news might leak to this man that there were those three Muslim women who had come in and they witnessed against you. What will happen? I'm just giving you the example. So for this reason, Islam has raised the status of women and said, look, you can help one another out, no problem. When you come in the court, come two of you, don't worry. Come four of you, come a large number of you. You can talk to each other, don't worry. But present the justice. So that is a positive point rather than a negative point. Subhanallah. Similarly, when it comes to the home, and I'm going on to another point now. When it comes to the home, what happens? Some women find it difficult to do what? To put forward a plate of food with a smile in front of their husbands. Subhanallah. They find it difficult. They are told by others, you know what? It is oppression. How can you serve your husband food? There is equality. You cook one day, he cooks the other day. Subhanallah. Yes, point understood. But we go back to the West, the same people who put that argument. And we tell them, O women of the West, you are stopping our women from putting forward a plate of food in front of their husbands. And you are saying that they are oppressed when they do that. But when the same woman, 37,000 feet above sea level on British Airways or South African Airways, is dressed scantily and presents plates of food in front of 300 strange men who have nothing to do with her, with the biggest smile showing them 32 teeth of ours, then we are liberated, subhanallah. And we dress in such a way that when they look at us, they cannot sleep in the evening because our image keeps on flashing in their eyes. And we make movements in such a way that had they been able to, they would have had a feel of us. It's a fact. Then we are liberated. But one plate of food in front of your husband, you are oppressed. Wallahi, my dear mothers and sisters, forget about 32 teeth. If you showed your husband 16 teeth, the problems in the home would be solved. Subhanallah. In fact, not even 16, only 8 teeth. The problem today, we don't even want to show our teeth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Look at this double standards. How they have convinced our women to go and serve others. And they call it liberation. And when we serve our own, we are oppressed. Subhanallah. And 37,000 feet above sea level is closer, subhanallah, to the skies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance and hidayah. Another thing. Yes, women in Islam are allowed to go out to work for as long as the conditions of work do not compromise the framework of the Sharia. But the duty of breadwinning is the man's in the house. We know this as Muslims. So if a man is bringing in 2,000 rands and the woman decides that, look, I would also like to go and contribute and bring in another 1,000 or 2,000 rands. I'll work for an hour or two or four or six. Let her go out so long as she is working within a framework that does not compromise her marriage and happiness and that does not compromise her Islam and Sharia. She is a good woman. She is helping, contributing towards the home. But today, no. It is something else. When we marry, the man already says, you know what? The accommodation we have, we're going half-half. Already he is 50% a sissy. May Allah protect us. 50% out. He imposes it on her, on his wife. And then he says, you know what? Never mind. You go out to work. I'll look after the kids. Subhanallah. The tables have turned. And how have the tables turned? They have turned in a manner. And I will end with this example. It is a long example. They have turned in a manner that is very, very dangerous. Look, if you read Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. I'm sure we've come across that example. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told his father, oh my dear father, I have seen the sun and the moon and 11 stars prostrate to me. And his father told him, don't tell this dream to anyone. Let me skip straight through to the end of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the meaning of the surah, of the dream. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that the sun was depicting the father, the moon was depicting the mother, the stars were depicting the children of the home, the brothers. When a Nabi sees a dream, wallahi, it is a true dream. It cannot be a lie. If it is an example, it is an example 100% correct. It fits straight in to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to fit into. Let me inform you today. The qualities of the sun outside that we see are the exact qualities that are required from the father of the home. If he fails in one quality, the home will be haywire. The sun shines. It provides light on earth. The father should be the figure in the home who is the head of the house. When the sun is out, people feel secure. They come out. The father should provide the security in the home. When the sun is out, everyone goes out to work to earn. The father should make sure he is the breadwinner in the home. He is the one who calls the shots in the home. I don't mean take out your gun and start shooting on the wall, no. So, these are some of the qualities of the sun. Powerful, shining, causing plants to photosynthesize. Therefore, definitely our children must grow in front of our eyes. We need to guide them. We need to be the champions in our home. If you are to look at the sun, will you be able to see it with a naked eye? You will go blind. But the sun is not something bad. Sometimes the sun is scorching. Yes, the father in the home, sometimes he comes back with a bit of a temper. I'm not giving a green license to the fathers here to get angry in the home. It's just an example. And then we have the children in the home, their relation with their father must be beautiful, but at the same time, that respect must be there. Look at how we cannot look at the sun in the eyes. I am not saying, oh children, don't look at your parents in the eyes. No, but the statement is, let us respect our parents. And oh parents, ensure, dear fathers, that there is an amount of respect. One might say, how do I earn that respect in the home? By living as a champion. Remember our fathers when we look at them. They are our heroes. They are flawless people to us when we are children. We look at them as champions. They are our source of inspiration. And they are our guide. But today, the parents of today, the fathers of today, sometimes their own children guide them. Why? Because they drink, they swear. They gamble, they do this, they do that, they swear their own wives in front of their children, which is the biggest crime on earth. They raise their voices. How do you want your child to respect you when you don't respect yourself? These are the qualities of the son. Take a look at the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The more bright or the brighter the sun is, the more the moon will shine. Is that not correct? The moon gets its light from the sun. It does not have a light of its own. If a father plays his role in the home properly, the mother's role will be made easy. She will be more effective in the house than if the two of them are fighting, or if the father's not playing his role properly. Similarly, if you take a look at the moon, you can look at it. It is full. It is beautiful. You admire it. The stars don't come out while the sun is there. They are there in the star in the skies, but you won't see them. But when the moon is out, the stars are twinkling. That is the close relation between the children and the mother. It is definitely an example, a complete example. The moon depicts the role of the mother in the home, all the qualities of the moon. So much so that the moon goes through a 28-day cycle, and so do women. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Some days you don't see the moon. In the same way, some days don't expect much from the women folk. And we know why. 28-day cycle, subhanallah. They use the term the birth of the new moon. Who gives birth? Subhanallah. It is the woman who gives birth. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. That is the example in the Quran. Simple example, which we may have disregarded in the past. Maybe we didn't even know what it meant. Then we have the stars that twinkle, mashallah. When do they twinkle? When the moon is out. Now tell me, when the sun comes in the place of the moon, and the moon comes in the place of the sun, what do we have outside? Something known as an eclipse. When there is an eclipse, what happens? We can neither see the sun nor the moon. We just know where they are. That's it. And it is a sign of qiyamah, because we know the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of a worshipper for as long as he does not get to the point of gharghara. Number one. Number two, we also know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِلُ التَّوْبَةَ مَا لَمْ تَطْلُعِ الشَّمْسُ مِمْ مَغْرِبِهَا. The doors of tawbah are opened until one day when the sun will rise from the other side. The question might be posed, how can the sun rise from the other side? Let me tell you, when there is an eclipse and the two have now disappeared momentarily, rather than the sun coming out on the other side, it will take a reverse mode and come out the other way. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ ذَلِكَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ وَصَلُّوا وَادْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى يَنْجَلِي. The sun and the moon are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not eclipse for the life or the death of anyone. But whenever you see the eclipse, engage in dua, engage in salah, engage in istighfar, and remain in ibadah until they reappear in a normal manner. Because it is a sign of qiyamah. You need to make dua. Ya Allah, protect us. Something wrong here. Wallahi, my dear mothers and sisters in the home, when mother loses her role and wants to play father's role, and when father loses his role and wants to play mother's role, and we mix up the roles and the trousers are worn by the wrong people, subhanallah, in the house we have what is known as a social eclipse, where the significance of mother is gone, the significance of father is gone, the stars are nowhere to be seen, just as in a normal eclipse. You will never see the stars around. Those who will lose will be the children. They will lose the most when mother and father are disputing and fighting and quarreling. For this reason, Islam has taught us, you want to tell your wife something, you want to tell your husband something a little bit harsh, make sure it happens behind closed doors, not outside the doors of Woolworth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. If you are to lose track of your roles, you become a statistic. And tell me something, when women become like men, and when men become like women, is it not a sign of Qiyamah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us already that it is a great sign of Qiyamah. We need to make dua, engage in salah, until that eclipse has returned to normal. The message here, and I told you I would end with this example, let us not lose track of our roles. Islam has given us freedom more than anyone and everyone else, more than any other religion. And at the same time, Islam has raised our status. There is a woman who accepted Islam known as Yvonne Ridley. We may have heard her name. She was a British journalist captured in Afghanistan and released at the time of the war. Not to say that that war is over. May Allah grant us assistance, inshallah, throughout the world. She says, before I accepted Islam, I could not walk out of the home. I could not greet someone who came to my home knocking on the door unless I spent 15 to 20 minutes in front of the mirror, putting a face onto my face that was not my own. But when I accepted Islam, all I had to do was slip on a little cloak, put a scarf on my head, and I would open the door with a smile. Subhanallah. That is one statement that must teach us. Islam teaches you to be yourself. My dear mothers and sisters, you have the right to a lot, but keep it within the framework of the Sharia and Islam. I have always encouraged women to create all women's gyms, all women's swimming pools and clubs, and enjoy what you have. Keeping fit is not only for men, as I mentioned yesterday. You need to have your own treadmill. You need to have a treadmill within 5-6 of you. It's not impossible. 10-20 of you get together, create a small women's club, have someone's garage or something that you can use. Each one can contribute a little bit, buy a few things, and go to the gym every morning. Keep fit. Wallahi, you will feel much better. Your mind will be fresh. Your thinking will be positive because you will be healthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our women folk good health as well as the men. So wallahi, the message here is loud and clear. Let us not fall prey to the misunderstandings that the people have created around us. As men and women, and as Muslims, learn your religion. Understand why what is decreed, rather than being opposed to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, ultimately, we have to face Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. A little question that I was asked a few weeks ago in one of my lectures, when I spoke of Jannah and the Hur. The women asked, if men are to get women, what do women get? That's a brilliant question. Well, the answer is, if men get women, then women get men. So the question is, which men do we get? The answer is, if you were married, you would get your wife. And upon hearing this, the one woman could not resist but to utter aloud, if that's the case, I don't even want to go there. I suffered all my life with this man only to know that I'm going to die in his arms, and only to know that in the akhirah, I'm going to get the same man. But wallahi, let me just to inform you, because it's a ladies' program, let me tell you, our minds that we have here are so small. The husband you will have in the akhirah will be such that when you look at him, however you want to perceive him, he will be. What is in your mind is in his mind. We will be complete human beings. You want him to be large, huge, big, burly, automatically he will be that. Moments later you want him to shrink, he will shrink, subhanallah. And he himself will look at you how he wants you to be. When you look at him, you will be how he wants you, how you want him to be. And when he looks at himself, he will be how he wants to be. There is kamal. We cannot comprehend it, my dear mothers and sisters. Let us get to Jannah first. Then we will meet. And you will tell me one day in Cape Town you were explaining. Today I understand. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant that to us. We will be complete No ins and outs. Everything will be to the T, how you want it. Imagine if you had to walk home to see your husband looking according to your taste and choice. And every day that taste and choice can change in Jannah. He will still look how you want him to look. Whatever's in your mind, if you feel I want this man to give me a cup of tea, automatically you'll see him walking with a cup of tea towards you. It was in your mind. Wouldn't you like that type of a husband? Subhanallah. If his name happens to be the same name that appeared in your marriage certificate in the dunya, that does not mean he will be the same person with evil qualities in the akhirah. May Allah make us comprehend this. And you will be the queens of the hoor in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. And may He grant us Jannah through the green root. Wallahi, we cannot place our baby fingers on a candle for a minute or two. How are we going to tolerate the fire of Jahannam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from it. Ya Allah, we admit that we will not be able to go to Jahannam. It is only Your mercy that will drive us to Jannah. Ya Allah, take us there. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.